Sometimes when we're singing, we're not quite getting. We're singing, and there's lyrics, and there's music, and there's words, but sometimes we're not quite getting. See, the revelation will come to us this way. I can see a light that is coming. And you might miss the light that's coming when you're singing the words. But actually, when you're singing, I can see a light that is coming, we're actually just talking about Jesus right there. Because the world's in darkness. He is the light of the world who shines into the darkness and dispels and breaks it all up. So that's why when we're singing, I can see a light that is coming. My leg's feeling better. I might play football tonight. See, when it comes home to you that the light is coming, and if you haven't caught the light yet, and all you can see is a wall and darkness in front of you, the light is that, hey, here's the other thing, we're going to talk about this funnily enough. In the middle of your darkness, he's still the light of the world. And that's why the echo is, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. It doesn't really matter what's happening. Still I will praise you. There will be a light that is coming. Who for? For the heart that holds on. Sometimes you got to hold on. Sometimes we let go, don't we? And we drift. And we slip and we slide away. But for the heart that holds on, because the light is coming, who is Jesus, still I will praise you. Still I will... That's in our sermon. Open your Bible up today. This is a wee short introduction. We're going to be in with this character for a few weeks, if God wills. If God doesn't will, he'll take me somewhere else tomorrow. But right now, we're going to open up at the book of Jonah. Who knows about Jonah? Everyone say Jonah. Hopefully, we're going to say some things about Jonah that you thought you knew, but maybe didn't know as much about him. But we kind of know this guy who doesn't do what God wants him to do. So this relates to this closing song we've been singing about here. God puts him, people will tell you, God puts him in the belly of a big whale. He lights a candle, the whale throws him in shore, and he goes on the huff, and Jonah becomes Jonah the moaner. And we could finish there. You look at that story, a lot of people consider Jonah to be a kid's story, you know? Yes, they do. A story that we hear about in Sunday school. But the truth of this man is, this is a factual account of the life of a man of God. He is a great man of God. The Bible isn't a fictional book, guys. It's not just been made up there, odd as it may seem. And this becomes the life of this kind of reluctant prophet, which a lot of us could possibly relate to today. And Jonah, I believe, as we look at this, because I believe this is a word for today and it's a word in season, will really speak into the lives of all of the people who understand the Spirit of God. Who understands the Spirit of God. Opens your heart up to receive his word today. So let's start here in Jonah chapter 1, of course. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Verse 2, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed to Tarshish. And he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Jonah has become known to many as Jonah, the reluctant prophet. The reluctant prophet. He was a prophet of God that often did what was right in the eyes of God, and he did. Let's be clear there. But in this particular episode of his life, we're going to find that he didn't obey God at all. He disobeyed God. Now, if we look at this character, we'll see that Jonah, his name in the Hebrew actually means dove. It's dove. Interesting. So he was called the dove, or the peaceful one, who ended up disobeying God and is now known as the reluctant prophet. He's the son, Bible tells us, he is the son of Amittai. Amittai means truth. This is interesting in relation to our story, which is a great name of the prophet to be the prophet of the Son of Truth. Nineveh was the city that he is now commanded to go to and to preach there. Now understand this, if you know your Bible history, Nineveh was the capital of Assyria. And Nineveh were Israel's absolute foremost worst enemy. You will find out that Israel hated the Ninevites, and you'll see why as we go through our story of Jonah. Now, I believe that God may show some of us. I believe God's going to show us some things. Amen. Who's open to see something? Be open for this. I believe that God's going to show us something, and this is something we don't want to hear at the outset of our story. I am going to say that there might be just a little bit of Jonah in every one of us. Oh, hello. Jonah 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai. Now listen to this, folks. Good news is that the word of the Lord can come, and the word of the Lord will come to us today. That's the good news. See, God is the God who loves to speak. Amen. God is a God who loves to speak. Whenever God created, he says, let there be, and there was. And he created with the spoken word, with the God-breathed word. John 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and actually dwelt amongst us. Amen. So God is a speaking God. Amen. He's a speaking God. God created Adam and Eve in the cool of the day in the garden because God wanted to be love and to love. He is a speaking God. And throughout history, if you check it out, God speaks in so many different ways to his people. God has often spoken with an audible voice. How many believe that? God spoke with an audible voice. God spoke through his prophets. God will often speak to you through your circumstances, okay? That will often happen. God has spoken through the voice of the Holy Spirit, but you need to be tapped in there. You need to be tuned in to hear what the Spirit is saying. And so if you've never, ever heard the voice of God, here's some good news for you. You can, and you will, if you simply open up his word. If you simply open up that little book called the Bible, he will speak directly to you. So that's the word of God. It's described or self-described as living and active. I think it's the only, no, it is in fact, the only living active book in the world. It's power in the scriptures there. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. This is the word of God that pierces. It is truth. It is vibrant and it is living. And the word of God, if you open your heart to it, it will transform you and change you. Completely transform your life. The word of the Lord will come to those who listen. Those who are tapped in, who will hear. And God will come to some of us today. He has already, through a variety of words that have been shared today already. He will come to us with a very clear and very specific word. His word will come to you to change something, generally. It will come to change something or to move you in a new direction, to be obedient to what God is saying to you through his word. And at that moment in time, right there, you'll have a choice to make. You will have a major choice to make in your life. You can do what God wants you to do right at that moment, and that is to be directly obedient to the word of God. Or you can do what Jonah said in this instance and say, God, today I choose not to be obedient to you. I'm not going to be obedient to you today, God. Listen, folks, the word of the Lord will come to you. It will come to you. That's the good news. The challenging part of that is this. The challenging news is for many people in life today is this. When God comes at you or when God comes to you, when he speaks to you, he will often ask you to do some things that you don't want to do. How many of us know that? How many of us has God asked to do certain things and we're not keen on the idea? He He'll often ask you to do some things, church, that you don't want to do. And the reason that we don't want to do them is because we'd really like to believe that we often know what's best. We know what's best for life. And so we try to convince ourselves that we actually, in life, know what's better for us. And this was the context of Jonah. Check out verse 2. Here's the command. God said, I want you to preach against Nineveh because its wickedness has come up before me. Now, you might wonder and kind of say, well, okay, Jonah is a prophet, and that is what he does. He preaches God's word. So why did he not just simply obey, which looks like a very simple assignment for the prophet of God in this season? Listen to this, church, because we're very harsh in Jonah. Jonah gets a raw deal. He gets a hard time from pretty much everyone. It's the disobedient one, the reluctant one, the moaner, all that stuff. But when you understand the history of Nineveh, the bigger picture, folks, has to be explained here. When we understand the history of Nineveh or the Syrian Empire, you understand a little more why Jonah despised them and why he actually hated them. Now, understand the Syrian Empire, of which Nineveh is the capital city. Whenever it was rumored that the Assyrians would be attacking someone, they were so brutal in the way they'd handle the captives and the way they would deal with the captives. If you look at this more closely, and we're not going to do that, they would torture them and become so destructive and so vile that occasionally, watch this now, when it was rumored that the Assyrians were coming and the city was going to be under attack, sometimes a whole town of people would just commit suicide. They would just take their very own lives. Why would they do that? Let me tell you why. Because they would rather die this way than experience what was coming. This is how bad things were when this group came to the city. That's how feared the Assyrian Empire was. And this is why they were despised and hated by Jonah. And I'll tell you something else. I looked into the abuse and the defilement and the torture and the murderous ways that the Assyrians came into these cities. And I have actually decided to save you from it. I've decided to omit that from this sermon because we don't need to hear it. If that's something you think might interest you, you can go and look at that. It's all there for everyone to see. It is vile, horrible, disgusting. It's brutal. So we're not going to share that today. But why am I saying this? I'm saying this so maybe we as a people will have a little bit more grace and mercy for Jonah. Just a wee bit more grace and mercy for Jonah when he actually says, God, I don't want to go there. I know what's there. I know what potentially awaits me there. Now, I'm being honest, God, I really hate these people. Now, I know not one of us have ever hated anyone. We've not done that. It could have been that he had a relative, you see, or a friend. Possible in this story, or someone who'd actually experienced the torture of the Assyrian army. So he despised them, and God says, I want you, Jonah, to do something. And in his mind, he possibly at that time, he felt he had some legitimate reasons why he didn't want to obey God. And maybe you're here today and you can relate a little bit to that. Now, that can touch you just a little bit in your life. Understand this. The word of the Lord is going to come to some of you, if you're open to him. The word of the Lord is going to come to some of you, and you will hear specifically from God. Who knows they need to hear specifically from God today in our life? We all do. And this is kind of, this is what I should do. And in your mind, you may think, okay, I understand, God, what you want me to do, but here's the deal, today I don't want to do it. I'm not really up for this today. I don't really want to go there, be there, have anything to do with that particular situation, God, that you're asking me to get into. So perhaps we can relate to that in some different ways in our lives today. I mean, maybe someone in your life has wronged you. We've all been wronged. We've all been hurt in this life. Or maybe worse still for some of us, someone has hurt someone directly that you love. And that can be even more painful or damaging. And the word of the Lord comes to you today, and the word of the Lord for you is to forgive them. to be obedient, and God says, go and forgive them. Hey, and you're thinking, hey, well, why should I? Well, let me tell you, first of all, why you should, because you've been forgiven. You've been forgiven probably many times in your life. So go and forgive them to forgive us. We have been forgiven. And you look and you go, hey, I don't want to. I don't really want to go down that road because I don't think they deserve it. Well, we didn't deserve it either. But we got it by the grace of God anyway. I don't really feel like forgiving them. I know that's what God wants me to do. But hey, I don't want to do it. And we dig our heels in there and we walk in disobedience before God. Or I'll throw another one in for us today, one we don't like often. What about the biblical tithe that we kind of stay away for? No, that God entrusts us to manage his resources. He gives those things to us to steward those things. And the first 10% of what he trusts to us belong to him. And we say, I won't give you the tithe. I am withholding the tithe, and we return that tithe as an act of worship, and yet you're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to get down that road. I'm not ready for that. I know that is what God says, but I don't want to do it, because in my mind, in the way I'm thinking, that doesn't make sense, because if I go there, hey, so life's all about me, you see. I won't be able to afford the life that God really, you know, if I give God that money, I can't live my life the way I want to live it in the fullness and get the things I need for me in my life today more than I want to obey God. I simply choose not to do that. And so we walk in the area of disobedience. And then maybe you're dating somebody. Hello? Who's ever been on a date? Oh, really? Three of us? It's a pretty healthy church, not? Maybe you're dating, maybe we don't want to admit we've been in a date. Maybe you're dating someone, and the next thing you know, you're doing some stuff you shouldn't be doing. Who's been in a date? Maybe on the date, you've been messing around a little bit. I won't go beyond that. You cannot know what I'm talking about. You see, the word of the Lord will come to you, and he'll say things to the believer like, hey, guys, that's for marriage. I'm old school, aren't I? Not. That's not for dating purposes right now. That's for marriage, and you get a choice. You know what? I'm here now with the compromised and diluted gospel that's going around today and the diluted church. A lot of people will say this. Well, I know that's what God says, Hugh. Really? I know that's what God says, Hugh, but I want to do this. And then the key line is this. This is 2018, like the date matters to the Word of God. It's 2018, things have moved on, it feels good, makes me feel loved. Listen, that's the Jonah in us. That's the Jonah in us, and that is the type of Jonah that is changing the curriculum and structure and Word of God in churches all around today, so we don't know what we're doing. We don't know who we are, what identity is, as children of God. And maybe the word of the Lord has come to you and you thought, okay, I know really what I'm supposed to do, but I don't want to do that right now. I'll do it later. I'll get to it later. I'll get to it. It will be done, but it'll be done later. Remember I shared last year, delayed obedience is really disobedience. Delayed obedience is really disobedience. Aaron McManus, author and pastor, says, listen to this line. This is brilliant. You can tell the maturity of a person between the distance of the command of God and the obedience. If the distance is short, they are mature. If the distance is long, it's immaturity. I think that's a fabulous line that's put out there. If you want to know more about that, see me later and I'll give it to you. The word of the Lord will come to every person who is a child of God, and he'll often tell you to do some things in your life that you don't want to do. Jonah says, I don't want to go there. God, I don't want to go there. I don't want to have anything to do with those people. In fact, they make me angry. God, they make my blood boil. I refuse to go. Listen, church. God will show up and God will speak to you, and he may tell you to do something, he will in fact, that you don't want to do. Understand this, whenever God does speak, Watch this. Whenever God does speak, you can always find a boat sailing in the wrong direction. I'll let that one sink. Punchline in there, but you never got it. Whenever God does speak, if you look for it, you'll always find a boat that's sailing in the wrong direction. You'll always, always, always find a ship that is moving the wrong way. And some of you, I believe when I just said that, something touched your heart, and you know this morning exactly what I am talking about. You say, hey, I want to obey God. I want to do what God's called me to do. And all of a sudden, your old friend gets in touch with you. Oh, hello. Your old friend gets in touch, and the key line is, hey, do you really need to do life that way? The church way, the God way? Do you really need to do it? Do you need to be so into the church, living for Jesus thing? Hey, let's go back just for a weekend. Come on. Let's just go back to the way things used to be. Let's go back and touch base with the old life and we're old friends. Does that happen? Can it happen like that? Yes, it can. Watch how it happens here in Jonah. God says, I want you to preach to the Ninevites, verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord, then headed for Tarshish, and he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and he sailed for Tarshish. Now you might ask, why Tarshish? Why did he sail for Tarshish? Well, God says, basically, go east, Jonah, to Nineveh. And Jonah says, I'm going west to Tarshish. I am going directly away, 2,500 miles away from the target destination. He was desperate to get away from this call of God in his life. That's how far it was, 2,500 miles away from his destination. One commentary said that it would take about a year. It would take about a year to sail from where he was to where he was going. Let me tell you something. That's a lot of running. That right there is a lot of escaping. That's a lot of getting away at that time, running away. And some of you right now, I believe some are relating to this today. I believe this is touching a heart today that's sitting in this church. Because you may be sitting also next to someone who thinks you're absolutely on track. Looking at your life thinking that you've got it together. You look the part, you've got it going, but you know in your heart you've been running. You know in your heart you've been running, and you're running a long way away from God today. Let me tell you something, the word of the Lord is coming to you. The word of the Lord is coming to you, and he's saying, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I want you to do. And somewhere along the way, months or weeks or years, you said, I know that's what you want, God. I understand you've been saying it to me. I know that's what you want, God, but I don't want to obey you right now. I don't want to take this on. You've been on the run, and you think you can get away with it. Listen, church, we need to understand. I need to understand that you can run for a while. Hear this. You can run for a while, but you can't run forever. You just can't run forever. You cannot run forever because eventually what's going on in your life will catch up with you. It will come after you and it'll catch up with you. So maybe you're not on the run as much as you're just drifting. Maybe some of us, we are just drifting. We're just getting by. We're just attending church. We're just doing what's required of us. We're just drifting along. And some of you, maybe again, you can relate because maybe months or years ago, you were actually really close to God. You understand the closeness of that relationship when you're praying and God answers your prayer, and then you're like, maybe that was a coincidence. All of a sudden, things change. Maybe that was coincidental. These are God things. These are God things. And God would prompt you to do something. And God would show up and prompt you to say something. And so you would do it and say it. And then he would bless you. He would touch your life in amazing ways. And you understand that was the power of God. That was the touch of God. And you just stand in awe of what he was doing. And then his word was such a valuable part of your everyday life. Church, it has to be. It has to be a part of your everyday life. And you'd open it up and you're like, that was for me. that word, that scripture, that verse was from me, God. And God, today you're talking directly into my life and you're speaking into my life today. And you'd go to church and it'd be like in the church, the pastor's preaching. It's like, I'm the only person here. You're speaking right to me. What you're saying today, you're speaking right into my life. It's like, I'm the only person in the room today. Ever felt like that? And then you'd have these divine appointments. Aren't they good? I love divine appointments. I have a lot of divine appointments in Asda. I do, but we'll not go there. Where you're like, you know, I think I was supposed to meet that person, and I believe I was supposed to say that, and that really helped. And then one day, all of a sudden, you skip church. I'm going to behave now, and we're going to go there. You skip church. And then the next week, you put down his word. You've missed church, and Monday, you kind of miss your Bible reading. Has this ever happened to anyone? Oft. And you stop reading it. And then you find you're not praying quite as much, and you're now missing church every second Sunday, and your prayer meeting attendance. Hello? Did I just say that? And your prayer meeting attendance is dipped. And you're not there, and you didn't see as much of God's activities anymore in your life. And then one day you're like, how did I get so far from God? How have I drifted so far away from God? Listen to me. It wasn't that you were running as much as you were drifting. Church people drift. We drift in life. You see, when we disobey the commands of God intentionally or even unintentionally, we are drifting. We are drifting through life. We are actually separating ourselves from him. This is the Jonah in every single one of us. Church, the word of the Lord will come to you. The word of the Lord will come to you, and it may not be what you want to hear. But listen to me. When you run, you can always find a boat sailing where? In the wrong direction. And some of us, I believe, even in Mossvale, who are looking good, looking the part, looking with a smile, hands raised high, some of us are on the run right now. Let me give you another thought here to tie in here. This thought, I believe, will speak to you. When you're on the run, doing the wrong thing, God may actually just send a storm to grab your attention. Who knows what I'm talking about there? Because we sung this as well in the closing hymn song. Who understands that? That God may create a storm to get your attention. That's because he loves you, by the way. That's not because he's bad or anything like that. Verse 4, Jonah was on the run. The Lord, he sent a great wind, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Now, look at this. This is great. This ship was full of sailors, and they're transporting cargo. So this was a very, very big, strong, strong ship. This was such a great wind. This was a major storm. We are talking, and you can only imagine what was going on here. This boat being buffeted about, banged about in the ocean, and the boats going up and down all over the place, and all these hardy sailors, they're actually screaming and bawling and shouting, help! Help! See, when you're in the storm of life, help is a good shout. Help is a good call. And so they're in the middle of this, and they're asking, what are we going to do? They're actually saying, we as sailors, we've never seen a storm like this, so much so that the integrity of the ship is actually at risk. And they begin to say, as sailors do, you know, you've got all those things going on, whose fault's this? Why is this storm raging? What's going on here? And they drew straws and did a lottery thing, and they say, well, it's Jonah's fault. He never even got a straw. And they says, who are you? I hate it when people say that to me. Who are you? And why did you bring this on us? So they've identified something in him. Right there and then. Verse 8 reveals the answer. Jonah answered them and said, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven. And they're thinking, Jonah, do you really? Because it's not manifest or evident in your life right now. See, at this point in your life, are you really worshiping the Lord God of heaven? He says, I am a Hebrew. I worship the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the land. And this terrified them. And they asked, what in the world have you done? What have you done? Because they knew that he is running from God. You worship God. They're thinking, do you really? Because it doesn't look like it here. The sails are freaking out. It's a big storm. And Jonah finally realizes, this is my fault. I am responsible for all this stuff that's going on right now. And someone needs to hear what I'm about to say right now. Because something's going on in your life. And this is a word of the Lord coming to you right now. Because some of you are going to recognize this today in the church. You're going to think, what was I doing? What was I doing? My private rebellion, my private sin, my personal sin, it wasn't hurting anyone. It wasn't hurting anyone. Someone needs to understand and hear this and take this on board today. I want to say to you, don't kid yourself here. Don't kid yourself and don't play this game with God today. If it hadn't hurt somebody yet, it's going to hurt somebody tomorrow. It's going to affect somebody tomorrow. You realize it's my fault. I'm hurting all these innocent people by my disobedience, my direct disobedience to God. And Jonah, thank God, he finally owns up. And you can see it in verse 12. He says, okay, guys, I'm sorry. Pick me up, throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm. This whole storm, everything that's going on, it's my fault. I caused it. I'm to blame. He said that this great storm has come upon you. So the sailors, now they're going to have mercy on him. Aren't you glad you get people in your life who are gracious and merciful towards you, even though they know what's going on in your life? So these sailors are going to have mercy on him because they really care about Jonah, even though they don't really know him. And they say, we're not going to do that, Jonah. We're not going to do that to you. Let's throw our cargo off the boat. This was their livelihood, but let's throw this off the boat, off the ship, to save this man's life. We're going to get rid of everything we have, and we're going to try and save you today. It didn't work. It didn't work. They're back to square one. Let's try and row back to shore. Didn't work either. No way. Okay, we're all going to die. Here's the bottom line. We are all going to die. I guess now, Jonah, we need to throw you off the boat. We now need to throw you off the ship. And so they said, God forgive us. God forgive us. We're sorry. We didn't want to do this to Jonah. Jonah, we're sorry. And they throw him overboard and the sea goes calm. And then something, you know what happens next. It's one of the coolest things in the Bible. Suddenly, unbelievably, now, what, I want to say something before we get to this. Something unbelievably bad in our human mind happens to Jonah. And if you know the story, he gets swallowed up by a great fish. A great fish. People say Jonah and the whale. I'm not going to pity party about it. It was a big fish. Could have been a whale. Who knows? But the original text says a large fish. Doesn't really matter, does it? It was big. It's a big thing. And he is inside the fish for 3 days. Now that's freaking me out. I hate fish as it is. Hate them. Inside a fish, I'm not really big in enclosed spaces. It's not looking good for me. And I don't know about you, but no one likes the dark. They pretend we're okay in the dark, but no one really likes the dark. Final thought for today. Hear this. Jonah's worst nightmare was exactly what he needed. It's exactly what he needed. Jonah's worst nightmare was exactly what he needed. Verses 15, 16, and 17 tells a story. They took Jonah, they threw him overboard, the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, always a good outcome, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights. The Lord provided the fish. Listen, church, what Jonah would see is the worst possible scenario God provided. And maybe today here at Moss Vale, some of you right now, you may be facing what you would consider is your worst nightmare scenario. I mean, financially, you may be like, I'm done. It's over. Can't cope with this anymore. Can't deal with this anymore. And God might be actually saying to you, if you'd open your eyes, listen, do I have your attention? Have I got your attention in the middle of all this? Or some of you might be facing a relationship that you think you just couldn't get any worse than this, and God may be saying to you, hey, do I have your attention? Have I got your attention in this thing? And I'm not saying that everything that happens bad, that God is causing it in your life, because I don't actually believe that to be true. But I do believe there are times where God may allow a situation so that he can fully get your attention. So here's where we are today, church. The word of the Lord comes to you. It comes to you. And you have a choice today to obey or disobey. You see, when God speaks to you, and he does speak to you, you'll always find a ship sailing in the wrong direction. And if you do not obey, he actually might send a storm just to get your attention. If that doesn't get it, he may allow you to face your worst nightmare. Listen, church, what he does, understand this. He does all of this because he loves you. Everything he does because he loves you. Because God has got something in this life for you to do. He has a city or a group or a people for you to touch or impact, and you have a choice to make. You can keep running or you can come back to him. And I pray that every one of us today will come back to him. I pray some of you would recognize the fact this morning that you have actually been on the run. Others, you've just been drifting. You've been going through the motions, but you recognize it's time for me to come back. And maybe for some, it's time for some of us to repent. Would you stand with me today, please, when I ask Peter and the guys to come back? I'd love us just to sing that song again, You Never Let Go. The Bible says this. Stay focused on what's been said as you stand. The Bible says this. There is a way that seems right to man. It seems right to a person, but in the end it leads to death. Hear this. A lot of times we do what seems right, what we feel to be right. A lot of times you actually might think, I need to do something that brings meaning and fulfillment. So maybe this relationship's the one. Maybe this will do. Maybe this is what I need. It seems right. And in the end, it doesn't. And maybe you feel like a little more money will do it for you. The nicer things. A different lifestyle. A different title in life today. Something else. Something more. Something else. Something else that will do it. And you're searching for it. There's a way that seems right, but it doesn't lead anywhere. You hearing this? It doesn't lead anywhere. Why is this? It's because if you're running towards anything but God, you're actually running from God. And maybe someone's just seen that or recognized that today. I think a prayer for my life this week has been, God, renew the joy of my salvation. Restore the joy of my salvation. God, accept me back. Forgive me for my disobedience and coming back to you. See, 2,000 years ago, God loved every one of us so much that he sent his Son. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, understand this, his prophecy fulfilled, who, like Jonah, was in the belly of a fish for 3 days. Jesus died for our sins, was in the ground dead for 3 days. He is risen from the dead. Amen. Thank God. Now Jesus is at the right hand of God. Yes, he is the Father. And he's praying for you and I by name. He's praying to God for you, for your life. What's he praying? He's praying, God, bring them back. Draw them close. Bring them nearer to me. Cause them not to be distant from me. Bring her to me. Bring him to me. All God wants you to do is turn away from our wicked ways, our sin, and turn towards him. And the call today is for total surrender of our lives. So maybe you've been drifting. Maybe you've been running. Maybe you've been stubborn in your faith. Maybe you've been resisting certain things that God's been doing. Come on, guys. He is coming back for the bride. He's looking for a people who are drawn close to him. So here's what we're going to do. And I said to Gail earlier, I'm going to just make the altar available for a response for a few minutes. But really, because of this style of sermon, my faith says don't expect a rush of people. In fact, I don't expect anyone, because this is an admittance that I've been drifting, I've been running, I've been rebellious, I've been stubborn. But if this has touched your heart today, and as we sing, I can see a light that's coming right into the darkness of that fish's belly. Maybe this word's been for you today. And I would say, respond to God. Come to the altar. As that song says, come to the altar. Raise your hands before him. Say, God, forgive me for not giving you everything, for not giving you my all, for not giving you my life, for resisting, for stepping back, for not being the man or the woman that I know deep in my heart that you want me to be. And if not, we'll sing it, we'll worship, and we'll go. Be blessed, guys. May the word of the Lord sink into your life today. In Jesus' name, amen.